Journey to the unend in this new audio adventure filled with cosmic exploration and strange reality-bending encounters.
Unend follows a supernatural ship and a remarkable crew on an expedition to explore the highest heights, deepest depths, and furthest reaches of the known cosmos. But their journey is fraught with peril as they discover truths and realities far stranger than any of them could ever have imagined.
This standalone series takes place in the Midst Cosmos, a surreal sci-fantasy setting home to other podcast series, such as Moonward and the award-winning audio drama Midst.
Unend is created and produced by us, Third Person, and we'll also serve as the playfully omniscient narrators of the voyage.
New episodes of Unend release every Wednesday anywhere podcasts are found, or through the Midst Podcast YouTube channel.
For early, ad-free episodes and lore-expanding bonus content, join Beacon at beacon.tv or become a member of midst.co.
Compliments to all you Kilmoolis. Climb on into the stinky dragon and quaff our latest coffee, Bane or Boon Bean Juice. It's a mixture of freshly picked pecans and pecans, a blend of Cullen Blessing coffee, Costa Rica coffee, topped with freshly slammed fruit extract, apples or oranges. One nip of this non-committal nosh will turn your frown upside down or smile much more vile. Previously, our adventurers boarded a train while in pursuit of their new suspect, Eddie. They were unable to locate the skinless suspect, but did manage to put a day's worth of training, rest, and travel under their belts. Now, they find themselves arriving at a new region of Groteth, Mosketen. Draw yourself a drink and let's dive back into this dank drama.
That's my bad Bela Lugosi there, according to John.
I like
it was
that,
a great Bela Lugosi.
I like that because of the localized way you say the word, you ruined one of Micah's puns. Because if you said pecans.
Yeah,
pecans
yeah.
And pecans.
As I was saying it, I was like, oh interesting. Yep. Messed that up. That's the South Texas for you. Hey, real fast before we get started, I'm Gustavo Cirola. I'm your Dungeon Master. I'm joined with our four cast of characters, as always, starting with...
I am Chris Damaris, and I'm playing Barney Farney, the human cleric.
Hi.
I am Blaine Gibson, and I play...
Don't look at your...
Chipania, Teasley Rogue. Level 2 now.
You're like the kid doing like their SAT test, copying someone else's name.
It's an open book test.
Yeah.
My name is Barbara Dunkelman, and I voice and play Elga Von Brath, the female half-elf vampire barbarian.
Ooh. I'm John Reiser, and I voice, but don't play, Matty Comfy Seuss, who is a Eric Cochran ghost monk.
Someone's off to the side feeding John his rolls and his moves.
Yeah. We two-player it.
Yeah. Before we get started, I want to hit you guys with an arrow here real fast. Got some warm-up questions to help fill out your backstory. Oh, there it goes.
You hit me an actual arrow.
You hit yourself hard.
John, roll me a D100. Let's see what our question is this week. We got questions from that are submitted online via the Stinky Dragon subreddit and Discord, as well as a few written by Micah, our writer. Hello, Micah.
67.
Oh, this is another one from Jaharden. I think we've had a Jaharden one before on Discord. This seems like a question for the players, but I'm going to say as far as your character. So for your character, does your character believe in fate / destiny or free will?
I want to know what the cleric thinks of that.
The wise old cleric.
All right. No elaboration needed. Wait, yes to what?
Yeah, I do believe in fate.
Okay, because he said, do you believe in this or this? And he said, yes.
Chip does. Oh yeah. When he met his wife Carol down there at the Tim Hortons, love at first sight.
What's the fantasy version?
Jim Hortons.
Jim Hortons.
I was expecting him Tortons.
Him Tortons. Him Tortons. It's a tortoise run establishment.
Yeah.
God, I'm all up in my own head about the voice now. I sang songs on the radio with Chip's voice because I saw on the subreddit. It's like he's going back to Kyborg. He's going back to Kyborg, and now I'm like, Fate, do you believe in it?
No, Elga is all about free will. You know, as a barbarian, she likes to do whatever she wants, doesn't like to be controlled by existing outcomes. So, you know, she's all about free will.
Metit is the same. Metit does not like the idea of someone else controlling my actions and I am in control of my fate.
As far as you know.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. What?
Who said that?
Who is this dungeon master?
For all of our stinky listeners, just in case you missed it, our previous episode was something we called Between the Tales. It's typically a behind-the-scenes look at our show with the cast and crew answering questions, talking about how the dragon sausage is made, you know?
Gross.
For this campaign, we're trying something a little different, including moments of canonical roleplay that center in on each player's growth, each character's growth. So if you missed that episode, pause this one, go back, listen to Between the Tales first. Don't worry, we're going to go ahead and wait.
All right, we'll hold.
Yeah, we'll wait for about 2 hours? An hour and a half, hour and 2 hours.
All right. I don't think it's okay. That long.
How was you guys' weekend?
My stomach feels
Gus,
bad.
Gus, go.
Okay, now let's resume our tavernly tale. I like how John gets impatient. The five of you find yourselves aboard the Grotesque Express steam engine, specifically sitting around a booth table in the dining car. Those of you who consume food are finishing up a hearty complimentary breakfast of polar boar sausages with glareberry gravy. Elga, are you just like pushing the food around on your plate?
I'm like, you know how like sometimes sausages bleed a little bit? I'm trying to wring them out into my mouth just to get the blood from them.
Sausages bleed a little bit? What kind of sausages are you eating?
They have like the little drippy stuff, right? Blood sausage.
Oh, if it's like really raw.
If there's ever a bloody sausage in a plate in front of me, I think I'm going to throw up.
More for Elga. Thank you.
I'm with Barbara. I think that's like totally...
There's totally a bloody sausage.
Hey, eat up. What are you doing playing with your food? You got it. You're a grown little girl.
You know, I'm embarrassed to eat in front of other people. Actually, I had a whole meal in the bathroom moments ago.
That's horrifying.
Choo-choo. The brawny blue-vested orc enters the car.
Next stop, Maskhetin. Next stop, Maskhetin. To those disembarking, please gather all your belongings and watch your step as you exit onto the platform.
The only luggage I got is this guy. And I point to Barney.
I'm your luggage.
You hear the screeching of iron rails, and the dining car jolts slightly as the train decelerates. The alchemist straightens his gray coat and turns to you all.
Before we leave, I feel as if I owe you all a thank you for your thorough, albeit unorthodox investigation, and moreover, for the help back in the Thayer Asylum. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
Also, I feel that I can trust you all enough to share with you my real name. I am Robert. Robert Esteban.
Wait.
Oh, the twist.
I'd appreciate it if you'd keep my identity intact, at least for the sake of my family's safety. Speaking of closely held secrets, I'm grateful we were able to hold on to this.
And he holds up a leather-bound notebook.
I've had a number of high-profile patients visit me over the years at the Thayer Asylum. And as you can imagine, each one of them came to me with their ailments because I exercised great discretion. This notebook is where I keep most of my notes on those patients.
Did no one else realize that the Robert was the alchemist?
No, I didn't. I just now made that connection.
No.
Oh, I mean, I can't attest if I did or didn't because my brain resets every time we record.
You know when the teacher is like, all right, on to the next slide, and you're like, barely finishing notes from the previous slide? That's what just happened. So he's the chemist, the...
Robert.
Medicine house. Drug house.
Medicine house.
Thayer Asylum.
And was he cheating, or he was in the relationship with so-and-so?
No, it's Francesca. His wife was Cheska. In a relationship.
Cheska.
So we
Cheska's
met
wife.
Francesca. Francesca.
So what did I say?
He says Francesca. Wife, Francesca. Oh. Is it Francesca or Cheska?
Francesca. It's,
oh my God.
So we met his wife.
Yeah.
She was in the audience.
I really apologize for this recording so far. We've had like a long weekend. We've all been extra relaxed and everything. So if we're a little extra loopy, that's what's going on.
Okay.
Yeah. Francesca is his wife.
You are the most of sound mind in the group. Can you lay it out for me in a way that I will understand with my pea brain?
Yes. So Robert and Francesca are married and have a son who we met in the room.
In the school.
In the school. Henry.
Okay.
Henry was looking for his dad, couldn't find him. We found a note in the Wolfman's chambers.
The Wolfman and Francesca are like an item?
Maybe in love?
Undefined?
Two peas in a pod.
And then we went to Francesca's house and something about she was very sad, probably because the Wolfman died.
Yeah. And Robert was missing.
Robert's missing.
Or gone.
Doesn't know where he is. And then we also found a passageway to
the medicine house.
Oh. Yeah, there was also actually a line in that episode that I said that kind of flew over everyone's head. Maybe Chris is the only one who picked up on it, where Francesca said, oh, yeah, you know, Robert's gone. You know how alchemists are.
Yeah, that's what I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and nobody reacted. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess.
guess we're dumb. We're dumb.
Ka-chunk, the train jostles to a full stop, and Disp opens the sliding door leading to the station platform.
Masketen, Masketen, watch your step as you exit the train.
Matilda throws their scarf over their shoulder and exits the train.
Ooh, okay. Fashionable.
Everybody else follows suit, I assume? Yes.
Can I help Barney down?
I've got it myself, of course, but yes.
Wait. How does Barney get out of the train?
No, he accepts
the
help.
Oh, okay.
But he's fussy. He's like, get some applesauce to go.
You all step off the train onto the platform. The alchemist has a brief word or two with Disp. Everyone go ahead and roll me a perception check.
I have 17 for Elga.
Ooh.
16 for Chip.
7 for Barney.
14.
That's a 14 for our English-speaking listeners. Barney, you exit onto a station platform and you're immediately distracted by fluttering flakes falling from the cloudy morning sky.
Oh, like snow?
Yeah, like snow.
Okay. Volcano?
Mateed, before you is a breathtaking alpine village nestled in a mountain range blanketed in white. There's a narrow road leading north up towards a stone stairway with an open gate. Chip and Elga, you notice that it's a little unusual because the temperature's not very crisp or cold, but surprisingly warm. You two sniff the air and instinctively recoil at the stench of sulfur.
But we're in an alpine village?
Yes.
Sulfur.
So this snow, this is ash.
No, but he says alpine. Alpine specifically describes like a snowy mountain place.
Yeah, but why is it stink of sulfur?
Alpine's just mountains.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
Or volcanoes. That's okay. What I said.
I've never heard of alpine described for volcanoes, but I'm open to it.
Thank you, Barney.
So the base of alpine is resembling or referring to the Alps or mountains.
Yeah, I guess I just think of the Alps as being snowy mountains, but that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
No argument here.
No, just clarifying. But I believe Chip said it, to Chip's point, yeah, you realize that it's not snow that's falling. It is indeed ash. And there's heavy white clouds of swirling smoke filling the sky, coating everything with little flecks. And there is definitely a very thick smell of sulfur permeating the air.
Mateed notices that Barney's putting his tongue out to catch the flakes and stops him. puts their hand over his...
Reminds me of my childhood.
Does snow taste different now than it was when you were a child?
It does. It does. My tongue must have gotten older.
Tongue must have gotten
your tongue
older.
Does. That's weird to think of. Your tongue gets older.
There is a narrow road heading north up towards that stone stairway.
Mateed starts walking that direction.
Well, I must say goodbye.
To who?
To all of you. It was a pleasure.
Barney, we're a team. We are going together on this mission.
Barney, where are you going?
Well, I've got a big quest of my own.
What's that?
Where?
Well, it's clearly you don't remember, so now come on the quest with us. Easy peasy.
I will have to go. I will find my new quest. Okay, let's go.
You're coming with us?
Well, for now.
I foresee this being a very annoying piece of the puzzle that happens later in the story.
Mateed is already headed towards that. Mateed is gone.
Oh, okay. Well, come along, Barney.
Okay.
All right.
Everyone follows Mateed up there.
Yeah.
I see that it's not acceptable to do snow angels / ash angels.
I mean, you can do it if you want.
No.
Why is it not acceptable? Who said that?
Because no one else is doing them.
You could be a pioneer.
I'm a trendsetter. I got to do a snow angel.
It's an ash angel, but yeah.
What does that do to his skin?
Well, I'm a tiefling, so I like fire things and ash.
Oh.
Oh, I guess it makes me white. Ooh.
You got purple skin, right?
Yeah, but now I'm covered in gray ash.
Wait, do you do it face down?
No, that's not how you do a snow angel.
He said he's covered. He's like,
it's camouflage. Oh, you can't see me.
Just imagine Gus's parents watching their strange child just go face first into snow.
It was him. That wasn't me.
Asked. Yeah. He asked if he's face down because he said he was covered. No. It's not Gus being weird. This is Blaine being weird.
Yeah.
No, but like no one thinks about doing it that way.
He was the one who said it.
It's you, Gus. It's
roll
you.
Me an athletics check. Let's see how this snow angel or this ash angel
You're
turns
the
out.
Problem, Gus.
You should make Mateed roll as well just to see if they keep their balance.
It's a 21. It's the most perfect ash angel you ever seen.
Looks great, but when you stand up and turn around and look at it, it's also got two horns on it.
Oh, an ash devil! Oh no! Run! Run!
I think it's beautiful.
And we shall name him Clayton.
All right. Yeah, you all head up after the creation of Clayton, the ash devil. You all head north up the path a little bit. Everyone roll me another perception check.
11.
Ooh, bad one this time.
6.
5.
18.
You know, as you all are approaching the what appears to be a gate to the town, Elga, you're the only one who notices that there are poles kind of running parallel to the southern portion of the town, and they appear to be buzzing slightly.
Like a bunch of different poles?
Yeah, they're spaced every few feet.
Telephone poles, kind of, like what, how high?
Metallic poles, let's say they're probably 20 feet tall. You grab Mateed by the back of their garments just before crossing because you sense a little bit of danger.
Oh.
I don't want anyone to be alarmed, but I think these poles might be dangerous, so we should maybe scout the area before we keep going.
Yeah, if you want to scout the area, you can roll me an investigation check, Elga.
Yep.
Is the gate manned by anybody?
No, it does not appear there's anyone at the gate.
It's a 2.
What's that? What does that get, Gus?
It's just your intuition.
I don't feel so good. Is something buzzing? Anybody put their phone on silent, maybe?
Can I check to think of what I remember about Miss Getson if I know anything about this city?
Yeah, make a wisdom check.
So what? There's a clue in the word. It's got to be
13. I know we don't get to see the spelling, so we don't see the puns.
Yeah, mask kitten.
13.
It's a big kitten.
Mask kitten.
I think you're right.
You remember mask kitten is very famous for the use of an invention by Frankenstein called volts.
Oh. Okay. No, and no one's at the gate, and we've stopped because it looks dangerous because we don't want to go through the
buzzy.
You said, so we're heading north.
Correct.
And there's a gate that's north, but you said all the way south the poles are running?
Like just south of that gate.
Okay, so we haven't passed any poles.
Correct.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, Mateed, why don't you roll me an investigation check as well, since you're trying to rack your brain here.
That's a nat 20.
Ooh. Tell us the history of Masketten.
As you're pondering, you know, thinking about what you know of Masketten, you look down on the ground and you see the carcass of a tiny griffin with its feathers singed.
Ooh. You okay there, little guy?
Somehow I think if we walk between these poles, there might be some type of electrocution situation in between them.
Mateed calls out to see if anybody is present at this gate to assist with this.
What do you shout?
Bonjour. We are travelers here to see Masketten. Is there anybody here who can help us into the city?
Just then, the alchemist catches up from behind to you guys. Says,
oh, I can help with that.
He walks up close to the poles and turns to you all and says,
just do as I do.
And he turns facing back to the north and says,
it's alive.
And then walks between the poles and continues on his way.
Okay. I'll follow suit. It's alive. Ooh. And then walk through.
Yeah. Nothing seems to happen. Okay. You walk through uneventfully.
I dance. I pole dance through. Ah.
He's fine through the poles.
Yeah.
Mateed shrugs and goes, it is alive. And walks through.
The poles, maybe if they were animate objects, you would think maybe they're confused a little bit, but nothing seems to happen, and you walk through just fine.
It's alive.
Barney, after you.
And then I go through.
Okay, yeah, no problems at all for Barney.
What's she going to do, Elga?
Could Elga just kind of stick her hand?
She wants to.
Yeah.
She's very wary of this.
Elga!
Like you stick your hand.
Kind of like between poles. Where the poles are, yeah.
Say the magic words. Don't hurt yourself.
It's alive. Ooh.
Oh, you say it's alive and stick your hand through?
Yes.
You say that and stick your hand and nothing seems to happen.
Okay, she walks through while going, it's alive, it's alive, it's alive, it's alive, it's alive.
At that first, I thought you were going to stick your hand through without saying anything.
Yeah, I thought you were going to test it.
You all climb the stone steps that lead up to an archway with an open gate. Hanging above the archway is a purple pennant with a sigil stitched into the fabric. It's a white M, but the middle part of the M is a V made of 2 green lightning bolts. Beyond the archway are more stairways winding through the sloped village, and overhead you see cables strung up between buildings all throughout the town. Straight ahead is a buzzing neon sign that reads, Jacqueline's Jug House and Eastern Gate to the right, Anton's Tinkerspiel and Shamie's Stitch Mark to the left.
What? Yeah, could that be... that's so many words. I'm sorry.
We got Jacqueline's Jug House.
And something Eastern Gate?
Stitch.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this place looks like a Metallica album cover that I got hidden down in the garage.
The alchemist says,
I think it's best if I go off alone to find Frankenstein. I shall appraise him of this Eddie situation. In the meantime, feel free to explore Masketten and meet some of the locals.
The alchemist offers you a nod and takes his leave.
William, before you go, come back, alchemist.
He's gone.
Oh, okay. I'm just really curious. I wanted to ask what the relationship with, like, Frankenstein might be with, like, the common man. Like the Eddie guy seems like that could have been a, you know, person created by Dr. Frankenstein.
Maybe you can ask around town. at one of the locations. Which was your favorite location of the ones that I read?
Archie's and Jughead's. I don't, whatever that one was.
Hey, let's go.
Yeah, Barney, what was your favorite?
Jacqueline's Jug House.
Okay, what else?
Anton's Speaker Spill.
He wrote it down. He wrote it down. We're not just, you're not the only note taker
Chris
anymore.
Chris is taking notes.
I can't write as fast as people type.
No, I definitely,
those are the only two I got.
I gave up on writing any of those down.
Especially when they're not real words.
Yeah.
I'm looking around. Like, Micah, don't give me that look.
Shall we go to Jacqueline's Jug House?
The Juggalo's house.
The Juggalo's house.
Oh, yeah.
No, just the Jug House with no Juggalos in this universe.
Where's the Fago Pop?
Pop. All of the buildings here in Masketon appear to be like half timbered with small windows and red tiled roofs and chimneys. And there's lots of overhead signs on buildings that have buzzing neon lettering. So you're heading to Jacqueline's Jug House. The sign indicates that that is to the right from where you walked in.
Is this like Germany, small German Swiss town meets like Vegas?
That's probably a fair assumption.
Like a mountain village with a lot of electricity.
So yeah. Are there any citizens walking around?
The streets seem sparsely populated at the moment. There are people walking around, but not too many.
Okay. Mm. I'm just curious. Hadn't heard any reference
so
to
So we're
people.
Going mm-hmm. to Jacqueline's.
Yeah, why not?
I'm just making sure we're good.
You all take a right and follow the sign. You know, you're very quickly able to see the buzzing neon sign that says Jacqueline's Jug House. You walk in.
Before we walk in, can I go, it's alive.
It's just the entire time we're shuffling around this town, it's just Elga it's under
alive,
her breath.
It's alive, it's alive, it's alive.
I don't want to be electric.
Have we discovered like a deep rooted fear of Elga?
Electricity.
Yeah, did Elga get like shocked sometimes?
She had a bad experience when she was able to turn into a bat and never went back.
Just ran into a bug zapper.
Oh God.
You mutter under your breath, what are your new magic words of protection? And you walk into Jacqueline's Jug House. It's a well lit, though hazy tavern that smells of mesquite, meat, and berries, and sounds of occasional muffled screams. It's filled with round pub tables that are occupied by local abombs drinking from jugs. The tavern isn't lit by torches or candles, but by bright glass fixtures overhead with cables running along the ceilings.
Are these screams of horror or of plaisir?
You can't tell.
Plaisir.
Okay.
And who's drinking?
Abombs.
And what are those?
Describe an abomb for us.
So a bomb would be like kind of slang for like an abomination. They appear to be kind of what we would describe as like horrific looking creatures with multiple limbs that appear to be sewn together.
Oh, okay. Cool.
They're all a little different. Some have too many limbs. Others seem like they're missing some. But like the common factor amongst all of them is scars and stitches.
Might you say they look Frankensteined together? Everyone who lives here has undergone some type of Frankenstein transformation.
They've been modified in some way.
Maybe that's like a show of like class, like that's their plastic surgery. I want to go meet Jacqueline. Is Jacqueline here?
You see a barkeep. Maybe you could ask them.
Hey there, Dave's Chipady. Is this your establishment?
She pauses for a second from her tasks and looks at you and says,
"Yep, I'm Jacqueline."
Oh, the one and only, the titular Jacqueline. This is my crew.
Jacqueline is also in a bomb. She's got bright eyes, a distended jaw, and grasping webbed claws.
Make sure you tell her she's beautiful.
And she says,
"Pleasure to meet you. You're not from around here, are you?"
"No, how can you tell?"
"I can't quite put my claws on it."
"Is it the ash? I was making ash angels."
Not on your face, though. It's not on your face.
"Well, what can I get you and your crew?"
"What you serving, Jacqueline?"
"We got,
Why'd you turn Irish there?
My throat.
What you serving there, Jacqueline?
Listen, I'm still the subreddit. I'm all up in my head right now.
Don't worry about it.
They hate me.
You know who's Chip?
Your Chip. No one else is Chip.
No one else gets to define who Chip is.
Okay.
But Blaineus and Gibson.
Yeah.
"We have two drink specials, Belloberry juice and Bolt Bean juice. If you're looking for some grub, we have Knoll Rolls and Pulled Orc sandwiches."
"Bolt Bean juice, is that like a coffee, like a cup of joe?"
She points at a nearby patron who's sipping on a stein.
"Right there, that's Bolt Bean juice."
And you look over and you see it's like a fizzy yellow bean looking liquid.
"That's not how coffee looks to me."
"I'll have what he's having."
All right. One bowl of bean juice.
She begins pouring liquid into a stein, hands it to you, and says,
"That'll be one silver piece."
Okay. Because I have whatever he isn't having.
Ooh, bellaberry juice for our aged friend here.
She pours the liquid into a jug, and this one's a swirling purple and red juice, and hands it to you, Barney.
That's also one silver piece.
Okay,
Barney, it's on the house.
Oh, wow.
Mathilde addresses Jacqueline. Hello, Jacqueline. We are visiting your fine city for the first time, and we're actually trying to meet a friend of ours here. Has there been any other visitors from out of town in your wonderful establishment?
There's always visitors coming to my place. It's the best place in Mascatan to get a drink and food. What can I get for you?
Is nothing from me. I am okay. But I was curious, has our friend Eddie checked in here at all?
Eddie.
She kind of rubs her claws at the bottom of her distended jaw as if she's thinking.
Someone who might not have skin.
That doesn't narrow it down too much.
Well, he has green skin.
Big smile. Big old smile.
And he's didn't he goo?
No, he's green veins.
Oh.
Bernie. No skin.
Okay. Yeah. I thought he had green skin.
No, green veins. Skinless.
That name doesn't ring a bell. Can't say that I know an Eddie.
How has your city been faring since the unfortunate news of our fine wolfman of recently?
Oh, it's terrible what happened to the wolfman. Everyone's in shock. Nobody can believe it. Everyone here is doing okay, though. Luckily, we've got Frankenstein here taking care of us here in Mascatan.
Everybody's in shock because of the electricity there. Hey, I didn't want to rule out Elga. Elga, do you want a beverage?
No, I'm too young to drink, clearly.
Oh, forgive me. Sorry.
I don't know if it's because of recent events, but I haven't seen Frankenstein as much recently. He hasn't really been coming around.
Does he usually come around these parts pretty often?
Yeah, of course. Frankenstein has done wonders for Mascatan. We all really love the guy. He's normally all around town.
When did he stop kind of coming around more?
Seems like fairly recently, in the last week or two.
Was this after he appeared at the parade, Natural City?
I don't know. I wasn't able to make it out there, so I don't know exactly. I was here in Mascatan.
But surely you know when the parade was.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah, so was it around that time he was coming?
Elga is like hands up on the bar now, like just in Jacqueline's face.
Hey, Jacqueline, so does Frankenstein have anything to do with just the distinct look of Mascatan people, you know? Yeah, everybody's got like a unique look. It's real cool. It's real hip. It's like tattoos, you know?
Oh, yeah. Frankenstein very graciously offered his stitchery prowess to folks in town. Bring everyone together in brand new ways.
Literally.
He even taught people like Shamey his techniques.
Who's Shamey?
Oh, you haven't been there yet? Over at Shamey's Stitch Market?
Is that to the left?
Yeah, it's just a little west of here.
The only other business we saw.
What does Mr. Frankenstein look like?
You can't mistake him.
I could.
Well, I don't think you can.
Challenge accepted.
You see, one day Dr. Frank's brother, Stein, suffered injuries to his body. It was a freak accident. Dr. Frank did everything he could to stitch him back together, but there wasn't enough of Stein left. So he combined their bodies, stitching pieces of Stein's body onto his own, including his face and half of his brain. So, Frank and Stein.
That's interesting.
He's got green skin, black mop of hair, bolts in the neck, patchwork suit of purple patterns. You can't miss him at all.
Hey, Jacqueline, you ever hear of it's a competing,
competing?
It's a competing. It's a competing bar.
It's called the Stinky Dragon. You ever heard of that?
Can't say I have. Tell me more. Where can I find the Stinky Dragon?
Well, you can find him on Spotify, Apple,
YouTube,
Twitter.
Never heard of those towns.
Instagram, TikTok.
Jacqueline, I'm curious, as a fan of the furthering of sciences, where is the origin of all of your wonderful electrical marvels?
Oh, the volts. That's Frankenstein as well. It's an invention of his that somehow captures the power of lightning in his windmill and sends that power down to all the buildings in town.
Wow. Is that where he lives? The windmill?
No, he doesn't live there. It's just a collector for the volts.
Well, where does he live?
He lives further north here in town.
Further north? I've never been.
Oh, like a like a castle?
You maybe could call it that, sure. It's a large residence.
What's the name of the place that they were saying, the stitch place?
Shamey's?
Yeah.
Shamey's Stitch Market. What might we learn from Shamey, if that is his name?
Maybe you can learn how to make yourselves look a little better with some stitching.
Rude.
Can I drink my drink?
Yeah, you got the bellberry juice. Yeah.
Yeah.
You go ahead and take a drink, and
cheers.
As you take a drink from it, screams sound from the jug.
Ah! It scared Barney.
Everyone who's at the bar close to you turns and looks at you.
Sorry.
I want to eat my bean juice. Drink it. Whatever. Bean juice in my mouth. Go.
You take a drink of your bolt bean juice. And it tickles your throat as you drink. It's almost like it's infused with vaults.
Oh, it's like pop rocks.
Yeah.
Hey there, Jacqueline. We're trying to get a feel for the town, for Masketon. Any folks in here that we should have a chit chat with?
Well, you're definitely going to want to head over to the Tinkerspiel or the Stitch Market.
How about here in your bar, in your establishment?
Here? I mean, you can talk to whoever you want, but don't bother my customers too much.
Oh, yeah. Of course not.
They're here to eat and drink. I don't want you running my business off.
Are there any customers in here that you maybe have problems with that you don't like and would be okay with them suffering?
The only person I have a problem with is Uyghur. He's not here right now.
Uyghur?
Uyghur.
What's wrong with Uyghur?
He tends to get into people's business.
Okay, so if he were to disappear suddenly, that wouldn't be bad.
Well, it wouldn't be bad for me.
Okay.
Okay, noted.
Where's Mr. Uyghur?
I don't know. All I know is he's not here right now.
Okay.
Mateed tries to like give that like that nonverbal motion for us to like move on to our next
neck. What's wrong with your neck there?
You got like a muscle spasm in your neck. It's making your head.
Oh, birds can turn their heads all the way around. Are you doing a trick?
Could Elga grab every single party member and shove us out the door?
Wait, Mateed needs a massage.
Thank you for the drinks. Time to go, guys.
I think
everyone's getting a little too tipsy. It's alive.
Kindest regards, my rankly regulars. Have you seen the latest Stinky Dragon puppet video? You deserve some more laughs in your life. The highlights are favorite moments from Tales from the Stinky Dragon in puppet form. It's a good way to get like little digestible tidbits from the show. They're going up on YouTube as shorts. It's an easy way to go see them. Go check them out at Stinky Dragon Pod on YouTube. Make sure you give us a follow at Stinky Dragon Pod. We're on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Plus, if you post on social media using hashtag Stinky Dragon Pod, we might name an NPC in the show after you. We recently dropped our latest Stinky Dragon soundtrack, Armageddon. You can listen to it on all your favorite music streaming platforms. It features 11 tracks of metallic and brassy themes, plus the beloved character song Kyborg the Mighty. On top of that, we've included encounter music to use in your own D&D sessions with your friends. Check it out wherever you stream music. You all walk back out onto the ash-filled street.
That's snowing.
No, this. Stop eating the snow, Barney. Close your mouth. Are we not concerned that we're like wanted? You know.
Well, that's in Atro City.
Atro City. Yeah.
I'm a free man.
For the first time in your life.
Which way was the Stitch Market?
From where you are, you know, you would have to go back further west.
So it's on that west side.
Yeah.
What was the other one that was to the east? It was Jacqueline's Jughouse and...
Anton's Speakerspiel.
Anton's Tinkerspiel. The sign said it was also in the same direction, out to the west. The other one to the east was Eastern Gate.
Split the party?
Nope.
Okay.
Chip, you're feeling really good. You think it was that drink. You feel energized.
Hachi-chachi, I feel alive. Oh, I start doing
jumping jacks.
Jumping jacks, that's what I'm doing.
How much coffee did you have this morning, Blaine?
Not enough or too much?
Not enough.
Well, should we maybe go over to Shammy's? Shammy's? What was it? Shammy's?
Yeah, let's go to ShamWow Stitches. Let's go.
Because I think Jacqueline said something about wanting us to go there.
Yeah, let's head over there.
You head back, you know, to the west, and you come across that sign you initially saw by the gate that you walked in, and continue to the west. And as you're walking to the west, you pass a neon sign that says Anton's Tinkerspiel, and there's another sign on the ground that says Jamie's Stitch Market, and pointing to the north. You make the turn and continue north a little bit, and you come across a rather large building with a huge neon sign that says Jamie's Stitch Market.
This must be the place.
Let's go in.
I go in.
Everyone walks in?
Yeah.
Yes.
You walk in to kind of a not-so-sterile waiting room with bloodstained chairs and magazines. The light fixtures are kind of buzzing, and they seem to flicker on and off. There's a front desk with no one at and a bell on it. Oh, and there's a jar of green lollipops.
Ooh.
Elga, stop licking the floor. Stop. Stop that.
The
bloodstained floors.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Elga licks the floor.
No!
Mmm, yummy.
Sorry, I just, you know, I'm very considerate of other people's places. I want it to be clean.
Oh.
And that, what better way to clean?
Yes, than with your tongue.
Could I tell what kind of creature the blood is from?
Oh.
Did you have any ability that would tell you that?
Just experience.
Probably, yeah. Different awarenesses of blood.
You know how some people can like a wine taste.
Like a sommelier?
Yeah.
You can't quite place it. It seems to be some blend you're unfamiliar with.
A blend. Okay.
A blend. Metid dings the bell.
You hear a voice from the back call out, "Just a second.
For you, you get two."
Out from the back comes out another Abom. This one has 5 spiked arms and kind of a look of dread on their face.
"Oh, don't know you folk. Look like you're here for some work. I'm Shamey. Good to meet you. Who rang the bell?"
Metid raises their hand.
Shamey walks up to you and gives you a very enthusiastic 5-armed hug.
Oh, that must
a
be
five? Oh, a 5-armed hug.
Yeah.
So what can I get you? Are you putting limbs on? You taking them off? What are we doing today?
"Unfortunately, I don't think you can do anything for me. My body is in a certain state that is not stitchable anymore."
"Well, that's too bad for you."
"I agree. In a past life, I would absolutely have used your establishment. We are visiting your wonderful town for the first time, and we are looking to learn a bit more about its workings, and it's the head of the town, Frankenstein."
"Frankenstein, ooh, yeah. Great guy. I learned a lot from him."
"What is your relationship to that individual?"
"A contemporary, I guess you could say. You know, one-time apprentice. Now we can stand shoulder to shoulder in our work. I'm sure you've seen my work all around town."
"I've noticed that the majority of the work seems to be a lot of attachment via stitching." "Mm-hmm. Do you ever do removal of certain body parts for permanently?"
"Oh, sure, absolutely. Any of your friends here looking to get rid of an arm? I'll give you good money for it."
"I had a friend that was wondering if they could remove all the skin of their body. Have you ever done that exactly before?"
"Oh, yeah, sure."
"Clever." I say that out loud.
"Thank you." Champ.
"Oh, who are you?" Shamey turns and looks at you.
"Oh, my God.
Hey there, Chip Paney. I want to shake every 5 of your hands."
All 5 arms come out for handshakes and then hugs.
"Firm grips. Wow, look at that. Hey, I got a tail. Can I put a hand on my tail?"
"Oh, yeah, we can do that."
"Really?
You want it to be able to grab things?"
"Yeah."
"Oh, yeah, here, let me, let's take a look here."
"You're going to be kind of like a monkey."
"Ooh, ah, ah." "That's my monkey impression."
Are you done with the sickness?
That's the William Shatner version of that song.
"What kind of hand are you looking for?"
Ideally, I'd like some either color matching or something fun. You know, I'm purple, so if it's green, that'd be kind of cute.
Purple. How many digits?
A little complimentary color.
Let's go for at least 5. I want it to be able to hold a dagger so I could stab someone in their back while I'm having a hug.
"Do you have a hand you'd prefer me to use, or would you like me to look through my inventory?"
"What do you got? What do you got? Let's see."
He pulls out a giant book and begins flipping through it.
"Let's see what I got here in stock. How about an ape paw?"
"Ape paw.
It's not going to be purple. It'll be a little furry."
"Hmm. Do I need to shave it? Is it going to spread to the rest of my tail?"
"It won't spread, but it'll probably grow back."
"Careful about the monkey's paw."
"What?"
"There's always a double."
"We can get it for you. Let's see. The surgery base price, 35 gold. Adding a paw. Do the paw. We'll give you a discount. You got a good handshake here."
"Hey.
We got one here. They're still good. We can probably get that done for, say, let's call it 45 gold.
What other paws cans do you got? What's your best one?
What's your discount one?"
No. "I want the nicest hand, most flexible, best grip, all of that."
"Most flexible, best grip. Well, let's see. We got ape in stock. We got..."
"Oh, ape's nice. I hear that's nice. That's trendy."
"We got ape was the first one. Are you listening at all?"
"Yes, of course."
"Okay.
We got sphinx."
"Sphinx. Oh, exotic. Nice."
"And that's all I got in stock right now. If you bring back something, of course, I'd be happy to..."
"Oh, God.
You know what? I'm going to keep my eyes open for a green hand. I really want a green hand.
Do you know a gentleman named Uyghur by any chance?"
"Uyghur. Yeah. I do."
"Does he have hands?"
"Does he have hands?"
"Yes."
Yeah, Uyghur does have hands."
"What color hands?"
"Color?"
"Yeah, are they green?"
"Man, really asking me specific questions." "Uyghur has 4 hands, actually. He wears gloves lots."
"He could spare one of those."
"Yeah, let's get you one of those."
Yeah. "Oh, yeah, we should progress the narrative.
Do you,
Eddie?"
"Yeah. Is there any chance that you keep documentation of previous customers to, I don't know, keep a record?"
Like some kind of log or something?"
"Sure.
We have in the past, but some of our customers don't like that, so it's not very complete."
"You ever heard of FERPA?"
"FERPA? What's that?"
It's you got to keep things, non-disclosure and such.
Some of our customers are pretty private about that.
Yeah.
Mateed tries a little something different and takes out a gold coin and slides it across the counter and asks,
Does the name Eddie ring a bell at all of your customers?
Eddie. What does he look like?
Skinless, noticeable green veins.
Big smile.
Mm-hmm. Big smile.
Mm. Mean.
It can't say it rings a bell. I have had many customers come through asking for something similar to what you're asking about, so it doesn't really stand out too much to me.
Mm. Why would you think that someone would want that particular procedure to be done?
Hey, it's not my place to ask people.
Of course not, but you are an expert of the field, and I was just curious what your opinion is of it.
What kind of benefits might it bring to the customer? Had their skin removed and green veins.
Oh, then you don't have to worry about washing your skin all the time.
Yes, it just goes right on your ooey gooey muscles.
And as far as green veins, it could be their whoever you're asking about could be their blood is green.
Who might have green blood?
Oh, all kinds of folks. It really depends on your ancestry.
Mm. Mateed tries to think about what Mateed remembers of creatures with green blood. Can I check for that?
Yeah, make a wisdom check.
What color is Chip's blood?
You want me to find out?
You told me.
I only rolled a 5.
You only have a vague memory of it, but you know that, beings from other planes sometimes have different colored blood.
Oh, Area 15 folk.
Possibly, yeah.
Side question. Why is there so much ash in the air and on the ground in the city?
The ash in the air? Well, that's always been there. I really can't imagine it not being there. I guess it's just part of living here, part of the Masketan charm.
Okay, well, can you also tell us about the vaults? I'm just so fascinated by these and, what they do.
Oh, yeah, that's all thanks to Frankenstein. He invented that,
What are they?
The vaults?
Yeah.
It's a power that's transferred down here so that we can run equipment like these lights you see.
Oh, so, okay. Maybe in the future they call it electricity.
That's such a big word.
Vaults does sound cool. Is that it?
I'm trying to think of anything else to get from this encounter.
I don't want an extra hand.
Oh, God. Barn, it's okay.
And then remember, he was right behind you.
Perhaps, Bonnie, you would like to help Chip with his procedure.
Yeah.
Okay, but I don't want one.
Okay, you won't get one. I'll take the extra hand. That way, when people are saying, hey, Chip, can you give me a hand? I'll say, which one? And I'll have 3.
Mateed is again questioning why they are traveling with these oddities.
Side note, I will be cutting off someone's hand. I'm joking. If I can find a green hand, it's happening.
Gotcha. Mateed pulls the party aside for a sidebar. I do not know anything else that we can glean from this establishment, but I'm quite curious to check out this windmill where the vaults are coming from.
Yeah. There's also the Tinkertel.
Oh.
Tinkerspiel.
Might as well. Rule of threes, hit up all the shops.
Okay.
And the Eastern Gate at some point.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's go to the Tinker.
Before we leave, is anyone currently being worked on by Shammy? Is there anyone in the shop there?
You don't see anyone else.
I don't see anyone else.
No.
Before we go, I say, hey, Shammy, hold up them hands. And then I give him a high five.
All five? That's a high 25?
There it is. Hey, I'll be back for that hand.
You got it. You want to take a lollipop?
Absolutely.
He opens up the jar that was there next to the bell. Feel free. Everyone can take one.
Green Thank apple? You. What is it?
My blood sugar's a little low.
You say blood?
Green apple. No. Try one. You'll like it.
Okay.
Stick it in my mouth. I'm a trusting person.
Yeah, you take a lick of the lollipop, and the lollipop screams when you lick it.
It's an ice cream.
Matches the voices in my head.
No, it's actually in your head.
Mm.
What's the flavor?
The flavor Fear. Is...
ice scream?
Ooh. Existential dread.
Yeah, the flavor is green.
The flavor is green.
I'm going to take a couple more. Shamey, can I take a couple more?
Only if you promise to come back and get some work.
Hey, you know it. I'm going to take 3 if that's okay with you.
That means you have to get 3 works done.
See you later, Shamey.
Which way do the signs point to the Tinkerspiel?
That should be south from where we are.
Yeah, correct. You all passed it. You did see it, so you know where it is. It's just a couple blocks south from
Let's
here.
Let's just do the full tour, okay? We'll check out this whole place.
Oh, yeah.
Who do you think you... Hey, who are you people?
Yeah, you're not the only one who can do that.
Mom, Dad?
Tinker.
Sorry, I meant to speak like this.
Mike and Linda?
Let's head to the Tinker.
I'm going to add 3 screaming lollipops to my inventory.
You walk a little to the south, and you go back to the building that has the neon sign that says Anton's Tinkerspiel.
What's in here?
And Barney goes in.
I really do like Barney's sense of wonder.
Barney walks in. Mateed recognizes an opportunity and holds Elga and Chip back just to see what Barney does.
Okay.
Barney walks in alone. So Barney, you're the only one that sees this. It appears to be a quaint toy shop lined with shelves and shelves of handcrafted toys that are infused with volts. Everything here looks like has lots of really fine detail worked into it. In fact, the light fixtures themselves are crafted to look like glowing windmills. And you see an employee who seems to be like cleaning off some of the shelves.
Hi, I'm Barney. This is quite the place.
He turns around with a little bit of a start, and you realize that this employee has 2 heads. One of them addresses you and says,
"Oh, hi there. We're Anton. What can we do for you?"
"Well, you've got 2 heads, I see."
"You know what they say, 2 heads are better than 1.
The second head turns and looks at the other one and says,
"You always say that."
"What's your favorite toy that you've got around here?"
"My favorite toy is right here, the hide and seeker doll."
"I knew you would say that. That's the dumbest toy we have. Best toy is a storm sled."
"What's the difference?"
"Well, one's a doll and one's a sled."
"They're 2 different toys."
They move all about on their own, huh?"
"We're just gonna wait outside."
I like this. I like this. I am enjoying my time right now. I John him.
"You see, here the hide and seeker doll, it's a hand-stitched doll that we can customize to look like whoever you want. And it loves to find new friends."
"Wow."
"Yeah, that toy's terrible. You see, the storm sled is a dome-shaped sled. It protects your dome when you're on the slopes."
"Ooh, how much are those?"
"We're having a special on the hide and seeker doll. It's only 25 gold, but the storm sled over there is 50 gold.
"We ain't got money like this yet."
"Cheap." "Yeah, you're right. None of us have money."
"Oh, I forgot about you."
Nobody has money.
I was like, why was Chip so curious about this? Like, no way he's got money. So I forgot broke. You
I'm
little.
I'm saving up for a procedure.
I gotcha.
"I've only got 14 gold.
14 gold? What are you? Some no good kid with no money?"
"Oh. Yeah."
Yeah.
"Well,
Barney, which one do you want?"
"You're outside."
"You're outside."
"Okay, never mind.
You can go in."
"I really like this place. I appreciate your help. Do you know why I'm here?"
"We presume you want to buy a toy?"
"No, I don't have the money." "Okay, bye-bye."
"Okay, bye-bye."
"Well, that was a neat adventure.
Give us a recap,
yeah,
Barney."
Did you get any information out of them?
"Yeah, we were looking for some suspects. What's any leads?"
"Yeah, they had a sled and a hat."
"Those are the 2 same toys, I believe."
"Yes."
"Any nothing else?"
"Well, one of them helps as a seeker, and we could get that, and then that might seek for us."
"That's not a bad idea."
"Okay, Matita versus Barney. How much was that toy?"
"Oh, well, it was more than I have."
"Do you remember how much it was?"
"I think it was 25 gold.
"Okay. Oh,
and what did it do? Tell us in very, good description, very detailed what this toy does.
What did it look like? What kind of materials?"
"It was I think it was a little boy, and it saw things."
"So this is a toy or this is a customer?"
"I'm not exactly sure. It could have been a little toy customer."
If we split the cost of this toy, maybe we could purchase it and it could help us with our search.
"Yeah, you have all my gold. It's 14. It's my life savings."
I give him 6 gold.
"Well, that's not enough."
"No, it's not."
I give him 8.
"How much do you have total now? How much more do you need?"
"Well, he's gotten 14 from me and whatever his share is of it."
"Wait, 14? I mean,
you
14
him.
Total.
Okay, yeah.
Plus so your 20, 14 so if, you're, if you give in all of your money."
"I give him more though, because you know."
"Yeah, I'll give you 5 gold as well."
"Social Security didn't come in and do their job."
"So 33, you gave me 5?
I gave you 5, yeah."
"All right.
Well, that's. I'm gonna go back."
I send him back in.
"Go get him, Tiger.
You got this." "Hi, I'm Bart. Wow, this is an amazing job."
Yes. The two heads of Anton look at each other and then look back at you.
"Well, that's 2 heads you have there."
"Well, you know what they say, 2 heads are better than 1.
You always say that."
"Well, what do you got here?"
We have all kinds of toys. A hide-and-seeker doll, sparkle marbles, rocking warg, storm sled.
And what's that little seeker doll? Hide-and-seeker?
Yeah, it's a little hand-stitched doll. We'll make it look just like you. Loves to find new friends.
Can I get one of those, but make it look like a man with no skin? And green!
Why does it matter what it looks
well,
like?
Well, is he here? Can we take a look at him so we know how to make it?
No. That's what we're struggling with, is we don't know where he is.
Well, this'll help you find him.
Ooh, okay.
I'll tell you what, we can make this doll look just like you.
Okay.
And when you whisper the word seek and throw it, it'll seek out whoever you're looking for within 120 feet of you.
Oh, that's it?
Of course, it has to be someone you've seen before. You don't need to see them now, but if they're within 120 feet, it'll fly through the air to them, even through narrow openings. Get this. Once it finds whoever you're looking for, it'll hit them and release a large stash of volts and shock them.
Oh,
wow.
That's a good toy.
This is not a good toy for kids.
Heat-seeking missile.
It only works once. After that, it becomes an ordinary doll.
I'll take four.
Well, four, okay. That's 100 gold.
Oh, Mike, I'll take one.
Okay, 25 gold.
The storekeeper doesn't seem to be moving anymore. They just have their hand out. They're waiting for the gold.
One, two, three.
He counts them one at a time.
How many times do you have to restart?
Yeah, when does he drop them all and mess up? Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
I have exact change.
I'm going to pay 25 gold in copper pieces.
Yeah.
I pay.
Okay, Anton takes the 25 gold from you and very quickly and deftly starts modifying the hide-and-seeker doll to look like you. It's kind of amazing to watch because even though his hands are made of hooks, he operates very quickly on the doll and then hands it off to you. It looks just like you, Barney. It's even got a little walker just like you have.
Wow. Well, this is neato.
And don't forget, the magic word you have to whisper to it is seek.
Oh, okay. See you later.
Chris is killing it this episode.
That was good.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, and then Barney leaves.
Okay. Oh, okay. There we go. Yeah, Barney walks back outside and rejoins the rest of the party, and he's got a little doll that looks just like him.
Oh, a baby Barney.
Yeah, and it's all thanks to you guys.
So it's a little doll that looks like an old man, like Benjamin Button style kind of situation?
Just a little, it's yeah, a little Barney doll.
Okay.
It's a Barney doll.
With the walker and everything?
Yeah.
You know.
We should like franchise these and call them Barneys.
Do you think we should also go in the store in case old man here might not have seen or asked the questions we need to ask these people?
I trust Barney with my life.
Okay, moving on.
This doll will get us exactly what we need within 125 feet.
120.
So,
no, you don't know that.
According to Barney, who just told you for the first time you've ever heard
that. I know that in Dungeons & Dragons, 125 feet, not typically used.
I don't know what this is, but it's my good friend Barney, who I trust and really like.
Who you gave a bunch of money to.
Yeah.
Hey, Barney. Okay.
Yeah.
My wife Carol's been missing for a while.
Oh, no.
Could you seek out Carol?
He goes to the doll.
No, but Matilda grabs the doll.
Why?
It's a one-time use.
Grabs the doll.
But what if the person's not there?
Grabs the doll.
This is my life mission. I gotta find my wife.
Keep talking all you want. I've got the doll.
I'm trying to find my life mission, too.
No, I'm trying to find my wife.
No, I'm trying to find my life mission.
No, it's two different things, but we can align and help each other.
If you look, you can actually see Elga and Matilda already walking towards the windmill.
Oh, better hurry.
As you finish up your conversation here, a hunchback humanoid covered in scars and stitches wearing a cloak is walking down the street. He seems to be walking along with several wargs.
How many hands has this guy got?
He's got four. He sees you all, makes eye contact, and walks straight over to you.
Oh.
We know who this is. Oh, visitors. Visiting Masketin, are you?
How do you know we're visitors and not residents?
Kind of a hunch. I am meeting you all for the first time. Hello, nice to meet you. My name's Vigor. Well, we have not met yet, so I have not collected the volt stacks from you yet. So that'll be 10 gold each, please.
He sticks out two of his hands.
10 gold each, please, to pay the volt stacks.
What's the volt stacks?
It helps pay to maintain the volts for all of Maskatten.
you guys can enjoy while you're here.
Well, I don't have to.
Oh, we're here. We're broke, Uyghur. But can I shake your hand?
Elga wants to do bite of sucking on Uyghur.
What? You just gonna go for a bite?
She tripped. All the ash on the ground. It's everywhere.
Escalation.
Roll it to hit, I guess.
Should get advantage, right?
22.
Ooh. I didn't know it's coming.
While his hands are out, maybe he's not paying attention or he's not defending himself. You very quickly, with super speed, latch on. Where do you bite? Do you have to bite like a specific place or what does that entail?
I think I do. Let me bite his hand that's sticking out.
Like you're shaking his hand and you lean in.
Oh, here it is.
Wrist. I just go face first into his hand.
I found it.
I want to play it off as I trip, though.
Oh, okay. In that case, do deception.
A lot riding on this roll.
Do you have a
11?
Do you have a dice?
I don't.
So you quote unquote trip and fall mouth first onto Uyghur's hand.
Fang first.
Fang first onto Uyghur's hand and latch on.
You let go of her.
Does it do damage?
Yeah, it does.
Should I roll damage?
Yeah.
I assume that hit.
Yeah, it does hit.
All right, it did 7 piercing damage.
Uyghur lets out a loud scream as you latch on and bite his hand.
Ow! What are you doing? Get him!
And 6 his wards on you guys. Everyone go ahead and roll initiatives.
It's been a while since we've tested, will Gus just have us fight this person if we attack them?
I was confused because your name is Uyghur. I thought you wanted gore. You know, we love gore kind of situation.
That's a stretch, Elga. Now we're in a fight with the locals. It's called subterfuge, Elga. You gotta be more careful.
I rolled 12.
10.
8.
20. Bada bing.
Uyghur, like I said, instructs the wargs to attack you. As they draw closer, one of the wargs goes first and takes a bite at Chip.
A bite?
Yeah, it's a warg. It's warg, like a big wolf.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wolf. Gotcha. I didn't know what it was.
Think of the things that the orcs rode on in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
If I die, my blood is on your hands, Elga, and not in the kind of way that you want. No, no.
Hitting AC 19.
Yeah, that's a hit.
The warg lashes out to bite you, and as it's about to bite you, Frankenstein and the alchemist show up.
Oh,
thank God.
Stop. What is the meaning of this? What's going on here?
I slipped and fell. I'm just a child. The ash is very crumbly under my feet.
You notice Frankenstein's face is actually 2 faces stitched together from top to bottom. One of the faces speaks and says,
"No fight here now. Fight bad."
We agree. We were not start fight.
You will have to excuse my friend. She is from a different part of this of our great place, and her customs and traditions are a bit different.
I fell, Mateed. Remember?
Different generation. She's one of them TikTokers, you know, the kids and their phones.
I am attempting a different deception since the first one did not work.
For Uyghur.
So you're going to roll for deceiving Frankenstein?
He wasn't there.
Frankenstein and the alchemist just seem confused in general.
Uyghur, what is happening?
Oh, nothing. Just walking around with the wargs, that's all.
That's not true. You tried to take the tax.
He didn't ask us for 10 gold each. It was a bit of a shakedown.
Tax? What tax?
Volt tax.
Volt tax. Yeah. You haven't paid your volt tax? Uyghur says there's a volt tax.
Yeah, everybody pay their volt tax. 10 gold.
10 gold?
I don't know what they're talking about. I was just walking the wards.
No. You said 10 volt tax because you pay the outsiders because they got to pay for the Masketten.
Dr. Frank kind of narrows his eyes, seemingly angry with Uyghur.
We're going to talk about this later.
Oh, we got him in trouble. Uno reverse. Way to go, Elga. Good bite.
The alchemist steps in and says,
"As you all can see, luckily I found Frankenstein here safe and sound. It seems he's not at all worried about Eddie."
No?
Stein, protect Frank. Stein has big arms.
He starts patting his biceps.
Come feel big arm.
I go give him a feel.
Elga goes to feel too.
Yeah.
Okay, very strong. Huge biceps.
Wow. Look at these.
Elga hangs off of it as he lifts his arms.
What are these? 21-inch pythons?
Stein laughs.
These are so thick and full of blood, probably.
Stein, stop showing off. They get it.
Why is Eddie not a problem?
Stein, protect Frank.
Oh, Eddie is not a problem because Stein will protect from Eddie.
Yeah.
Okay.
So does that mean they're afraid of Eddie as well? Eddie's bad here in addition to where he came from?
Yeah, do you guys know who Eddie is?
I explained all about Eddie to Frankenstein and about the impending danger of what we encountered in Atro City.
Can I pull the alchemist to the side and ask him just a quick question away from them?
Sure.
Can I say, does he know that we're like on the run for potentially killing the wolfman even though it wasn't us?
Doesn't have to know that. I mean, we didn't do it.
Sure, but I just want to make sure.
Yeah, we're fine.
Okay. Well, we didn't do it. You, on the other hand, who knows? Am I right?
Guys, well, where would you get here, Elga? This is a one-on-one, and she's just so small.
Did you see my fence when you walked in?
Yes, we did.
Wonderful. It collates fumarological discharges from atmospheric disturbances and siphons an extraction of volatile currents into carefully configured circuitry throughout the civic community, providing Mascatonites an influx of volts to utilize at their own leisure for illuminators and other implementer apparatuses. It's really quite simple. Even Vigor gets it, don't you, good lad?
Oh, yes, master.
The wargs bark excitedly.
Oh, well, you all are looking quite confused. Perhaps I should explain it again?
No, we are okay.
The Voltax is a bunch of bull hockey then?
I am not aware of any Voltax.
Interesting.
What kind of creature is Uyghur?
Uyghur is a...
four-armed a bomb.
Hunchback. Three-armed a bomb.
Four-armed. He's got three wargs. Yeah, he's also an a bomb. Just then, you hear a thunderous explosion clatter from the sky.
Danger, Frank, danger. No, Stein, settle down. It's probably just the windmill.
And then you hear a loud roar. You look up into the gray skies, but all you see are ash and flakes floating to the ground. A blazing inferno of purple flame rains down from the sky. Everyone make a dexterity saving throw.
This is one I could see, right?
Yeah, you would. Your danger sense would apply here.
Seven.
Okay, well, I rolled a nat 20, but I'll do it again.
Hey, Barney.
21.
19.
Mateed and Elga roll sufficiently. Barney and Chip, you roll a little too low, and some of that purple flame hits you.
I'm a tiefling, so I have resistance to flame.
Oh, okay. So that means you would take half of the fire damage then.
Aha!
So the fire damage is 14 points of fire damage, half if you saved.
Oh my goodness.
Just saw Chris's face change drastically. What percentage of Barney's life are we looking at being gone here?
Well, if there were 17%, I'm down 14.
Thank you for that vague answer.
We'll never know exactly.
Yeah, never know.
Hey, you in the audience, if you were able to decipher that answer, please let us know on social at Sticky Dragon Pod.
Out from the cloud swoops a massive winged creature made of barbed black bones blazing with purple flame.
I know you're here, you spineless spawn. Show yourself.
Mateed, go talk some sense into your friend, your undead bird friend.
Can I ask Frankenstein who they're looking for?
I don't know.
It is a huge skeletal-looking dragon. It's made of black spiny bones set ablaze by purple flames. I'm just elaborating because I know you all were confused about what it is exactly.
You know I'm looking for you, Frankenstein. I know you stole the crystal, you thieving scum.
Uh-oh.
Mateed does like the subtle sidestep away from Frankenstein.
Oh, look at this over here in this area.
The longer you hide, Frankenstein, the more I burn.
Then the giant skeletal dragon begins blowing fire on different buildings and parts of the town.
Oh my.
What's Frankenstein doing right now in this situation?
I'll tell you what, make me an insight check, Elga.
Oh, a 20.
You feel like when he said that he didn't know who the dragon was looking for, that he's not being entirely honest. You think he's hiding something.
A bit of deception.
Do you know this gentleman up here in the sky, Mr. Frankenstein?
No, I thought dragons were extinct.
Well, he clearly knows you, so one of you's not telling the truth.
As you're talking to Dr. Frank, you know, it seems like Stein's face is getting angrier and angrier, and he's distracted. He's not looking at you, he's looking up at the dragon. Before he can even answer you, Elga, Frankenstein suddenly jumps out, waving his arms in the air.
I hear flying lizard. Come get me, I know scared.
And raises his fists up angrily in the air. And with lightning speed, the winged serpent dives at Frankenstein and lands next to him with a thunderous crunch. The creature's black skeletal frame pulses with purple flames.
There you are, you cowardly cretin. Where is the crystal?
I no have crystal lizard. Now you leave. How dare you speak to Skeledon this way? I will only ask you once more. Where is the crystal? No crystal, only death.
Frankenstein grabs a loose plank of wood from the ground and lunges towards Skeledon, striking his claw with the plank. The wood breaks in half, but Skeledon doesn't even flinch. Instead, he lifts the claw and snatches Frankenstein, lifting him high into the air. Skeledon glares at the purple-clad brute for a moment and then turns to you all.
This one may be a fool, but perhaps you are not. If you ever want to see Frankenstein again, you will return the crystal to me in the Eastern Snarelands. You have one day. Do you understand?
What's the crystal?
Get out of here, you're starting fires! We gotta evacuate these buildings!
Is it better because in that bread box?
Skeledon looks at you, Elga.
Do not test me, spawn scum, or I will raise this village to the ground. You have one day.
I'm only trying to get you what you want, and you not to give me details. This is not helpful.
Skeledon launches into the air and vanishes into the clouds of ash.
Know what kind of crystal that this dragon look for? Any crystal?
Volunteer fireman Chip Haney reporting for duty. Let's get these people out of these burning buildings. Move.
Well, you'll have to coordinate your evacuation in the next episode of Chasing the Stinky Dragon.
We haven't the time, Gustavo. They're burning.
They're going to burn for another week.
We'll put them on pause. They'll still be there when we come back next time. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll be back next week with another episode.
Whew. We are going to be at RTX this year, which might be quite close to when this episode releases. And we're going to be doing some stuff at RTX for our show. And we're also going to do some collaborations with some other role-playing shows like Dungeons & Daddies or Must Be Dice.
There's a whole bunch of D&D stuff and podcasts and gaming.
We're doing our best to take over RTX with all D&D content. Yes. We figure that's the best. So if you're going to be there, check us out. If you have time to make plans and come see us, I encourage you to do so.
July 7th to 9th here in Austin. RTXAustin.com.
RTXAustin.com, guys.
This episode of Tales from the Stinky Dragon was produced by Ben Ernst, written, edited, and composed by Micah Reisinger, with additional editing work by David Saunier. Here's a quick shout out to folks that interacted with us on social media recently. Here's some NPCs named after them in this episode. Shamey, the A-bomb surgeon, named after user Shamine on Reddit. Anton, the A-bomb toy maker, named after @acid198 on Twitter. Jacqueline, the A-bomb barkeep, named after @jackalkrart on Instagram. Also want to give special thanks to some friends who provided voiceover for characters in this episode. The Alchemist, voiced by BlizzBear, @BlizzBear. Anton the A-Bomb Toymaker, voiced by Andy Cortez, @TheAndyCortez of Kinda Funny. Jacqueline the A-Bomb Barkeep, voiced by Chloe Naylor, @EchoClo on all social media platforms, including Twitch. Uyghur the Hunchback Henchman, voiced by Jack Patillo, @Jack_P. Frankenstein, voiced by Ben Ernst, @Halcyon_Ben. Skeledon the Dragon, voiced by Quentin Smith, @Quix_18. Tune in next time for another thrilling episode of Tales from the Stinky Dragon.